Hello. Well, we're made it through another week. Hope you guys had a pretty good week. Some of you guys might be working today and tomorrow. And hope you guys, if you're off tomorrow, that y'all go to the church that your family church is and just worship and praise God with your brothers and sisters. It's such a beautiful thing to be able, to me it is, to have a fellowship among our brothers and sisters, to always like to view it to a degree as A&A. You know, we go in there and we just kind of confine with each other, you know, the things that happen throughout the week, other struggles, and we gear ourselves up and gives us strength to go out there into the world to be that light that Jesus needs us to be in this dark and perverse generation that we live in, which truly I believe is the last generation. I believe we are in the end times. And I believe Jesus is coming back sooner than what most expect. But that's a sermon for a different time. Today, I want to speak about prayer, and one, you know, title. This is pretty much the importance of prayer. And the scripture reading today is going to be in Matthew 6, 9 through 13. That's Matthew 6, 9 through 13. If you have your Bibles, you know, I'll give you a little time to get there. A lot of you guys will probably may have. I know when I was a kid, I used to learn this prayer. They used to call it the Lord's Prayer. I view this more as a disciples' prayer. Because I think it might be in John's Gospel where somebody asked him, "Can you teach us how to pray?" And then Jesus gives them this format. Once again, that's Matthew 6, 9 through 13. "But thou, when I pray, enter into the closet, and when I have shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which see in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetition as the heathens do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father know what things you have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." You guys will bow with me. Heavenly Father, as we come to you in your presence, just thanking you for letting us get through another weekend, letting us be that light that's in this dark world, Lord. And if we did not, Lord, let's just acknowledge that and set ourselves to do that next week, to be that light, to speak the truth, to speak about God sending you down here to die for our sins. So nobody will perish if they just accept you. Heavenly Father, I pray that you just be with me in this time as I give this message. I pray that my lips be your lips, my eyes be your eyes, my hands be your hands, Lord. Whoever is out there listening, Lord, I pray this reaches their heart. And if they're struggling with their faith, I pray, Lord, that you just give them strength to overcome that and to become a witness that is so powerful for you. Let their light shine so bright that the whole world will see. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, here we have Jesus, right? He's on a mountain and he's providing a message on prayer. And I don't know about you, as a child I was taught this prayer. Of course, I didn't understand the words, the power of the words that Jesus was providing here to his disciples. Even truthfully, even now, I still struggle with these words and the importance of prayer. We know that if we just look at the Gospels, Jesus was a firm believer in prayer. He prayed all the time. From choosing his disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane before his horrible death at the inn. And I don't know about you, brothers and sisters. Christ did it. I want to model my life as close as I can to Christ. And because he placed such a key emphasis on prayer. I want to place a key inference in prayer in my life. And I truly believe to live a successful and pleasing Christian life, we have to understand the importance of prayer and the real struggles that we may face with daily, having a daily prayer life, maintaining a daily prayer life. You know, when we pray, right? And I was thinking, you know, when I pray as a child of God, I am humbled to be able to get on my knees or to lay where I'm at. Or sometimes you can walk prayer. That's just walking and praying. But sometimes this, you know, this can be hard. And I'm speaking for myself. Sometimes it's hard for me to have practice that daily prayer life. I'm just being real, guys. It can be hard. Because me personally, I can be very proud, even a little arrogant. A lot of times I want it my way. I do not know how anyone, I hope you guys can relate to this, you know. This life and all the physical joys I thought deserved such priorities, right? Way up there on the scale of things. That's nice house, a nice home, how nice vehicles, great job, you know, future retirement, you know. I'm a big Ford fan. I love Mustangs, and I would love to have a Shelby Mustang in my driveway right now. And that stuff used to drive me banana, right? I was wanting that, all this material stuff, and I thought it would bring me joy. And in my life, Jesus really had to knock me down a peg, letting me face on my face, losing all the stuff I thought was important. And you're left with nothing. And you're just, you know, I was just there. And that stuff can't bring you happiness. If you look at Jesus, you know, he was not born in a rich family. His family's poor. He had experienced hard labor. He was a carpenter by trade. He built stuff for people. When he started his ministry, he did not have a huge bank account. He walked and walked. You could imagine how many miles they walk if you really look at it. They walked all the way up to the death on the cross. He humbled himself to this life. He did that for the life and the cross. He didn't have to die for us. And when we humble ourselves before Jesus, we're just telling him, "Here I am." As he humbled himself for the cross. And we are nowhere. You know, some of us, when we were looking at our things and saying, well, I should have this. You know, Jesus didn't have none of that. Am I any better than Jesus? No. I will never reach that level in this lifetime or in the previous lifetime. I won't ever reach that. So to get on my knees and to tell him, I'm nothing without you. I give all of this, what's left of this, all my scars, my bruises, I give all of this to you. Through this day, through the months, through the years, it's all yours. I give it to you. You know, I'm almost 40 now. But I can remember as a teenager, I thought I had this. And when I look at teenagers today, they really, you know, I guess I was just naive as they were. You know, I think I had this. And nobody could tell me it. Nobody could tell me otherwise. I didn't need Jesus. I didn't need my parents' advice. I got this. I tell you, that took me down some very dark roads. And I... And I'm really surprised I'm here today, even doing, you know, I shouldn't be here. I should be dead or in jail. You're looking at a walking miracle when you look at me, a product of a praying mother, father, grandmother. God only knows how many prayers were sent that was shot up to heaven. Thank God for prayers that someone took time to pray for me. They humbled themselves and said, I personally cannot do anything for Jonathan, but I give them to you because Jesus can. We all have that option. If you are a child of God, you have a powerful tool at your disposal. That is why Satan and his demons are in full gear, very active today, to keep you from praying. They want to create distractions. They want to keep you busy. I was talking to somebody a few months ago, maybe a year ago. It was a brother, and he was like, you know, busy, right? What's the letters of busy mean? And I said, well, you know, I never really thought of it. You know, you're just busy, you're moving around, you're doing things. He said, well, think about it. He said, the B-U-S-Y, busy, being under Satan's yoke. I said, brother, man, that is so true. Just being under Satan's yoke. He wants to keep you busy. He wants to keep you distracted. I want to tell you, you know, when we leave here, I hope some of you guys will say, well, that was a great message. But now here comes the week. You know, Monday's here. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, Mondays are not my favorite. I don't like Mondays. They really get me. All right, and you wake up, you get out of bed, you get dressed, you hit, you know, you get the coffee. Got to have the coffee, right? If you don't have the coffee, I know for me, I ain't very pleasant to be around. You got to get the coffee. You head in your vehicle. You get in the vehicle. You turn the key, go, and then the car don't stop. Start, right? Whoa! Immediately. The sermon went right out the window, right? Here's Satan and his demons there that you cannot go to work, so you will lose money. You will lose your job. You will lose all the things. And all these things are rushing to your head. And, you know, prayer is not on your mind. It's gone. But in those moments, in those times, is when we need to hit our knees. We need to place God in the center of the problem. And when we place Him in the center of the problem, we give it to Him. We give Him the thing that is going on. We place it in prayer. You know, in the it shifts. The paradigm shifts from that point on. The devil said, well, you know, the prayer. Prayer, I just want to emphasize, brothers and sisters, prayer is the most powerful thing that you can do. So, when we pray, we get results. Not because of anything, we're anything special, because Jesus loves us and we're His children. When we pray, we prepare ourselves for battle. I don't know about you guys, but we are in a spiritual war. And this war is composed of battles throughout the day. And this spiritual war and all the battles, ain't nothing new. It started in the Garden of Eden, where the fall took place. A fall of man, right? This was the first count of a spiritual war in the Garden of Eden. You know, at one time there was a garden God created. It was beautiful and perfect. It was not plagued by the extreme heats or cold. It was just right. I know if all my Louisiana brothers and sisters out there, we have a hard time kind of grasping that, you know, our humidity's crazy and we rarely have a day that's in between where it's just kind of just pleasant. Doesn't happen much here in Louisiana. Also, in this garden, you had animals, and all these animals, they did not eat no meat. They were all plant eaters. It meaning that the lions, they ate leaves, fruits. They did not eat meat. You know, I love to watch Animal Planet and the documentaries on animals. And there's one documentary called The Hunt. And this it follows the animals on when they're in the hunt in their environment. And I can guarantee they are not eating no plants. They're meat eaters, but that was not always the case. And God created Adam and Eve, and He gave them this paradise, this garden, and they wanted for nothing. Can you imagine not wanting for nothing? No pain, no suffering, no bills. That right there just blows my mind, right? It was paradise. And within that paradise, God gave them one thing that they should not do. God told them to not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He said you would surely die. And I don't know, Satan knew they were, you know, not supposed to eat that fruit or of the tree. He was waiting for his opportunity time. You have Eve and Adam, and he seen Eve might have been having a bad day. I believe Adam was right there next to her. I believe that. Because shortly after, she offered him the fruit. And, you know, paraphrasing, you have the serpent, which Satan enters, and he says, "Hey, Eve, what's up?" And she was like, "Well, you know, not too much, you know, just walking around." So he said, "Well, you know, have you tried that tree over there?" He was like, "We're not supposed to eat that tree. God told us we would die if we ate of that tree." And Satan's, he's like, "Come on, you will not die. You will surely be like God. And this is why God does not want you to eat that tree, because He is lying to you. Come on, Eve, let's be like God. Let's see the truth that God is trying to hide from you." You know, she bought the lie. She was swayed, and she swayed Adam. And they committed what we call the original sin. And this brought the curse on this land. And if we look That's the curse that we're under now. When you woke up this morning and when you're, if you got out and you went to town or got outside, and in Louisiana it's extremely hot. That's the curse. We have to earn our living. We have the bills. So we have to go out and we got to get a job and we got to make money so we can have. That's the curse. The hate, the anger in this world, the homosexuality in this world, that is the curse. That is sin. That is, the devil has intimately, he has entered into this world, and literally Jesus tells us this is Satan's world. It is God's creation, but it is Satan's world. This is his domain. I want to tell you guys, we're in a war. It's spiritual. It's relentless. It's took many people. But when you wake up this morning and when you might decide you want to go for a walk or a jog, you know, the first thing you need to do in the morning, that is to give God thanks. Give God glory. You don't have to go into a deep prayer. You can just pause for 5 seconds and say, Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for letting me get up and walk. Thank you for my legs. Thank you for my hands. Thank you for my mind. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this house. Thank you for the bed I slept in. Thank you for the coffee that is brewing. Thank you for getting me up this morning. I know you didn't have to. That's prayer. Being thankful. And you can carry that on to the day. And when you get your mind set like that, you're gearing yourself up for battle. When we pray, we prepare ourselves for this war. Because we live in a cursed world, our world is broken, guys. That's why God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to start a process that will result in restoring this world back to its beautiful and perfect design it was originally supposed to be. Meaning, this world will not always be this way. The key factor is when you are you a child of God or are you a child of Satan? Are you a child of light or are you a child of darkness? Have you accepted Jesus into your life or you have not accepted Him into your life? I've preached several sermons on this and they're categorized in the sermons, and one's on salvation. If you're wondering about salvation, and a lot of people do have questions, I encourage you to click on the salvation one and listen to my sermon. I have posted several sermons on salvation here. And I'll probably post quite a few. I think to me it's one of the most beautiful things, or not really thing, blessing that God has given us, promise, you know, promising of a better life one day. Riddle. That's not riddled with all this pain and suffering that we experience, this brokenness when we look at this world. You know, within my life, I've struggled with this, understanding God and why am I so broken and why is there so many hurting around me in this world where depression and suicide is increasing every year. You know, I was reading an article and it said the increasing suicide is being viewed not only as a mental health problem, but a public health one. Nearly 45,000 suicides occur in the United States in 2016. More than twice the number of homicides. Let me read that to you guys again. Just think about it. Nearly 45,000 suicides occur in the United States in 2016. The numbers have increased. That is more twice the numbers of homicides, making it the 10th leading cause of death among people ages 15 to 34. Suicide is this age group, 15 to 34, suicide is the second leading cause of death. 2016 update reports that it has increased and is increasing yearly. It's in 2017, 47,000 Americans died by suicide. That would be a increase of about 2,000, I believe. And you expect the numbers to increase every year. The veterans, there's 22 veterans commit suicide a day. 22. This hurts my heart, guys. One death is too much. One suicide that has not accepted Christ into their heart, that is too many. We live in a broken world. Many are hurting. Many need an answer, and that answer is Jesus. Just this week, another pastor took his life. You see, Jesus was given to this world, so through his birth and death and his resurrection, and that he's coming back, we can have everlasting life. We can have salvation. I mean, we can become his children. Jesus is the answer to all this hurting, all this pain that many are experiencing today, this pain to end our lives, to just get rid of it. We as children of God, God lives inside of us. The hope that this world needs. We have a message, right? Yes, it's broken. Yes, this life can suck. We get that. I get that. But at the end of the day, we know that this world is not our home. We will one day, Jesus is coming back again. He will restore this world back to its original design. Could you just imagine a lion eating grass, and that you can pet that lion? You maybe can ride on the back of it. Man, what a message, right? No more heat, no more suffering. Because we're in a spiritual war. Now, as I was doing this, writing this sermon, you know, Holy Spirit moving, and I thought of my childhood growing up in the South, and it's not too much to do, right? You know, yeah, you kind of look for activities to do outside. Climbing trees, fishing, hunting for turtles, frogs, lizards, raccoons. I'm telling you, there was no animal that was safe from me. You may say, wow. I even had alligators, squirrels. You might say, whoa, brother, what's up with that? I mean, you know, I was poor. It was the 80s, and, you know, I had to find activities outside to do. And you could gather up some friends and neighbors, and we would a lot of times we play outside games. You know, one of the games I could think of is tug of war. I don't know if you guys are too familiar with tug of war, but it's a game that you can play with a long rope, and one group would get on one side of the rope, and the other group would get on the other side, and in the middle of the rope, we would place a flag on it. If you wanted to make it interesting, you would get over a mud hole, a deep one, or a water hole, and you place a flag in the center, and you pull it back and forth, and whoever loses, you know, that they get into the mud hole, or into, you know, that flag goes on, it goes on the other side. I like the mud hole. It was just it was fun. It didn't cost hardly really nothing. You know, spiritual war is like a tug of war. You know, you have Satan tempting you to do something, you know, you're not supposed to do. And on the other side, you have the sweet voice of the Holy Spirit telling you not to do it. And you're just tugging back and forth. And because I'm stubborn, I'm, And I'm like, I got this, you know, I'll ignore the Holy Spirit and go do it, do the thing I'm not supposed to do. And man, does that not work out in the end? Like Paul said, why am I doing the things I'm not supposed to do, right? Oh, wicked man, who will deliver me from this body of death? You know, Paul had that struggle, that tug of war. You see, brothers and sisters, God will not leave us helpless. He will give us an option, that is to pray before we give in to Satan, to the temptations, to the attacks. Prayer is a powerful weapon that we can use against Satan and his enemy. Every spiritual attack that we'll experience in this world can be resolved through prayer. It's a preempted, also, weapon. Pray before it happens. Pray during it happens. Pray after it's happening. You can preempt it. It can be post. It can be in the middle. It is powerful. It's direct communication to Jesus. When we're being taxed so brutally, you know, the Bible tells us the Holy Spirit will pray for us. Even when we can't say nothing, we're just sitting there crying out to God. He's listening. He understands. But we got to slow down, right? We got to quit being busy. We got to give God our time. We got to get quick living our lives so loud, so selfish, not thinking of the consequences of our words, our actions. That means we're so busy, we're spending time doing this and that, and we are not giving God His time. We're not taking time to pray. We got to get better. The devil's sitting there yanking on your chain. He's pulling you over in that mud hole. He is throwing you in the mud. You have to pray. Everything you say, every word that you speak, you have to pray. Pray before you speak. When we pray, we become overcomers in Christ. But what does that mean to become an overcomer in Christ? It is through Jesus that we become overcomers. It's what Jesus did on the cross, His horrible death that was meant for you and me. The blood that was shed on the cross. So through the blood, we could become His children. I want to say today, if you have not truly accepted Jesus into your heart, I want to say it's not too late as long as you got a breath in your body. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. John tells us that God sent His Son, Jesus, to die for our sins. And because of this, if we believe, we will never die. We will have everlasting life. You add this, and Paul tells us in Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That is accepting the fact that God sent His Son. He died for our sins. He didn't remain on the cross. He didn't remain in the grave. He rose that third day. And because of that, He was seen, and then he ascended to heaven, and He's coming back. You believe that. You confess that. You let that enter to your heart, truly into your heart, and surrender. That, yes, that means you have to give up your old life. If you're holding on to that old life, you can know the scriptures. You can say, that's what I have to do. But if you're holding on to that old life, you're loving that sin that's out there, He will not accept you into His kingdom. So, because you're truly not believing. When we open our hearts to Him, guys, truly open it. Accept, believe, and confess. We are His children. And it doesn't stop there. You are no longer the old self. There has to be a change in your life. A fire in your life. A fire in your bones for Jesus. You want to desire. You have a strong desire to study the Bible. You get in. You want to spread the gospel regardless of the cost. That is disciple. That is wearing the disciple cloak. That is suffering. We have to suffer. I will not sugarcoat the gospel. The Bible speaks of hell. Hell. And that's a bad place. I don't want nobody to go to. I don't want to come off and say, hey guys, you know, I don't want nobody to go there. And I'm afraid, you know, many professing Christians today, they're going to this place. Because they are not going to give up their life here. The fun of their life, the sin of their life over. They may go to church every Sunday. They may read their Bible just ritualistically. Just going through the motions, but they have not. And this ain't Jonathan's thought. The Bible tells us in Matthew 7, 13 to 14. Jesus tells us, these are his words. Enter ye straight gate, that is the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there which go in thereat. Because the straight is the gate. Narrow is the way which leads to life. You will find that. He's saying here, there is a narrow way to him, but there is a wide way that is easier, and many will go that way. Many in Matthew 22:14, many are called but few are chosen. This is talking to Christians. Many are called. God calls everybody to salvation. Well, I'll say it could be Christians, but this is general terms. Many. Everybody has the opportunity for salvation. And he will call many. And I believe many professing Christians fall in this category. But few are chosen because they choose not to give up their life. They choose not to die to self daily. They love their sin too much. They love the pretty things of this life. They don't want to give it up. In the end, they have this nice house. They have this nice vehicle. They don't want to give it up. They wouldn't give it. You want to test that thought today? Maybe you have a nice vehicle. Maybe you have plenty. Find somebody that needs a vehicle and just give it over to them. Whoa. That's crazy. That's Jesus, guys. The way Christianity is termed today, I call it the new modern Christianity. That is not the Christianity of the Bible. The modern new Christianity is this. You can have your heaven on earth. You can have it afterwards because that is what God wants. You can live in your sin and always love your sin. Then instead of hating your sin, I'll tell you, when we're committing sin, we're loving it. If we didn't love it, we wouldn't do it. Let's get real, right? I want to give you guys a warning. This is the LGBTQ, that is the lesbian, bisexual, gay, transvestite, queer. As the QBGTQ, I think they took the Q out now because the term queer is offensive. Their agenda, right? It's straight injecting inside our world. They're affecting our future generation to accept this lifestyle as normal. They are attacking our kids. And what are we doing? Majority are doing nothing. This is not to be negative. It's not to center it out. This is a warning. The homosexual agenda, the LGBT, are not made of many. 2, maybe 3% now. But they're influencing supposedly that are 60 to 80% that are professing Christians. Really? I'm telling you, the number's more like 10, 15 that are truly Christian, maybe less. Because if it's truly 80%, the garbage that's coming down the pike there, even one state has implemented a training program for kindergarten kids, and that's in the United States, to teach them, if you feel like a boy, if you're a girl, that's all right. That's normal. If you feel like that ain't normal. I'm telling you, that is not normal. The way the LGBT agenda that is occurring around us, that is not normal. You have Walt Disney. They're promoting sexuality. They have a Pride Month. I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, if we want to make influence, we need to do stop the people in Disney from promoting this. The new Frozen 2 movie is supposed to have a lesbian scene. Really? That is directly affecting our kids. I have a problem when they're trying to influence our kids so they can influence the next generation, and that's exactly what we're allowing them to do. And I will not stand, and I will not be quiet about it. I will preach it until they lock me up and throw me in jail. It's real. And I believe God is getting pretty sick and tired of this world. And He's coming. And I know God is a God of love, but He is also a God of wrath. And this stuff doesn't make Him very happy. He's a righteous and holy God, and He destroyed Noah's time, He will destroy our time. And those are His, He will keep. And He will store all things new again. So, when we accept Jesus into our heart, truly mean that we're willing to give all up to Jesus, regardless of the cost. It's only part of salvation. But if you truly accept Christ into your heart, you will not experience a spiritual death. That is a death that God will execute on those who truly do not accept Him. Because you cannot fool God. He can fool me. He can fool others. But in the end, all will have to face God and will receive spiritual life in heaven or spiritual death in hell. So, when we accept Jesus into our life, we become overcomers. Meaning that everything we experience in this life, no matter how brutal it is, how angry we get with the homosexuality that is injected into this world, the anger, the hate, all of it, a combination of it, the attack on marriage, people living together that are not married. This life is short, brothers and sisters. In the end, we win. God's coming back. That's not an excuse for us not to get out there and do what God needs us to do, to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Because if you're a child of God, you will have that desire in your heart to do that. We will experience when we die everlasting life. When we pray, we acknowledge this, that God is with us throughout all the pain in this life, all the suffering, all the sorrows, all the things that come, life gets messy, and that He understands He definitely understands, one day we'll not experience this anymore. In my life, I have struggled with prayer. At times, I still do. Jesus is working on me. Life gets hard. Life gets messy. Life gets busy. We're flooded daily with many distractions from work. If you're a teacher, you're hit with writing lessons and keeping a control in your classroom. Some children's just running everywhere. If you are a production worker and you're hit with the stress of maintaining the numbers that your supervisor is pushing for you from home, if you're keeping the children fed, clothed, shelter over their heads, keeping your bills paid, Satan Satan and his demons are expecting on keeping you busy and distracted. But when we place our life in priority and we practice praying daily, when we pray daily, we're talking to Jesus. We have a direct line to Him. This prayer, this praying is powerful. This praying is strength. This praying is powerful. This is awesome and exciting. When we walk through, when we walk out these doors, are, you know, in this online sermon, and we hit the, and we're out there in the world, and we hit the distractions, and we're just bouncing all over the place. I want you to stop, pause. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. Stop, pause. Remember to pray. Place God at the front. Through. When you do this, it changes your life. Stop, pause. Don't act. Don't act. Pray first. No, when we do this, we humble ourselves. When we do this, we recognize that's Satan. That's life. Well, it can be Satan, it can be life, whatever. It's a test, all right? And we become, through Jesus Christ, an overcomer of that situation, meaning we lean more, that tug of war that we were talking about, we lean more to Christ. And we give it over to Him and say, I can't do this. Stop, pause, and pray. If you get nothing out of this sermon, I want you to think of those words. Stop, pause, and pray. I love you, brothers and sisters. I hope you guys have a good Sunday. And enjoying one another.